Yes.
Now it's time for something completely different. There's no physiology here in this talk. And I'm going to try and provide you with an overview in very general terms of what we're doing to explore the apple microbiome. The concept of looking at the microbiome has really advanced in the last 5 or 10 years due to advances in DNA technology and the use of primers, universal primers to conserve regions in the genome of the microbes that allow you to identify organisms without having to culture them. And as you can see from this slide here, there's concepts of the air microbiome, the phyllosphere microbiome that's on the leaf surfaces, the endophytic microbiome inside, the rhizosphere, and the soil microbiome. And you can see what is lacking there is anything to do with the actual harvested product. And we feel that's an area that really needs to be explored in terms of its potential effect on fruit quality and fruit storage and fruit diseases. I also want to point out that now scientists and biologists have to deal with new terms, such as the use of the term metaorganism, which is defined as the individual plus its associated microbiota, and also the concept of a holobiont, which implies that the individual and its associated microbiome have evolved together, and there's been selective pressures working on both of them to develop a unique microflora for that individual. The microbiome definitely has shown to influence the physiology of the host in terms of being able to induce resistance, also send shoot and root signals, produce phytohormones, of course the production of antimicrobials by some of these organisms, and also the ability to form biofilms. And so we're all very much interested in being able to explore what implications this has on the harvested product, in my case, working with apples in particular. So we're interested in trying to understand how the concepts related to the microbiome apply to fruit. Can we define a core apple microbiome? Do genotypes influence the composition of the microbiome? And how, and most importantly, how can we develop and utilize the different functional microbiomes? And can we actually use this knowledge to somehow impact both post-harvest diseases, but also fruit quality and also the growing concerns about food safety? So one of the first things that we did was to try and just characterize the spatial and compositional variation in organic and conventionally grown fruit, and this was from fruit that was purchased at the supermarket, so it wasn't harvested. The big takeaway from that study was the fact that actually different parts of the apple have a very unique microbiome. This is a PCOA analysis of the beta diversity. There are two types of measurements of diversity when you do these microbiome studies. One is alpha diversity, and another is beta diversity. Alpha diversity has to do with the characterizing and comparing the number of taxa and the abundance, but it doesn't care what those taxa are. When you go to beta diversity, then you're looking at a dissimilarity a measurement where you're actually taking into account what specific taxa are there. So this is the PCOA analysis of beta diversity, and you can see that by when you get any type of clustering, it means that those samples are much more similar to others, to each other, than they are to other ones in the analysis. So that you can see that we have a distinct cluster for the peel, for the wound. There's some overlap here between the calyx end and the stem end, but they're definitely very unique communities, organisms living in those different portions of the apple. One of the other major points that we were able to demonstrate was that there's an incredible richness there that's perhaps has been unappreciated previously. So out of 8,000 what we call operational taxonomic units, we were able to define 5 phyla and over 350 different genera of microorganisms. And this is just fungi in this particular study on the apple. So we have a tremendous amount of diversity and also spatial differences that we need to take into account in terms of trying to understand the role of the microbiome in on apple. The other thing that we did, and this work has also been published, but we started looking at the endophytic microbiome. And we looked at 3 different cultivars, Honeycrisp, Golden Delicious, and Royal Gala. And you can see that Honeycrisp is definitely clustering independent from Golden Delicious and Royal Gala, which have a degree of overlap. And if you actually look at the abundance measurements on those, you can see the similarity between Royal Gala and Golden Delicious at the phyla level compared to Honeycrisp. And even then, when you get down to the genera level, you can see the similarity between Royal Gala and Golden Delicious and the different, how different they are from Honeycrisp. And the interesting thing about that is that it does seem to have some association with pedigree. So if you look at the pedigree, of course, there's Golden Delicious here, and then Gala just being a cross of these two cultivars, and Royal Gala just being a sport of Gala. Whereas if you look at the pedigree of Honeycrisp, which is very complicated, I'm not sure this was the final actually even decision on what the actual pedigree is. But you can see even though it does have Golden Delicious in its background, it has a much more complicated pedigree. So the take-home message from that is it appears that there does seem to be some type of specific genotype effect on actually defining the microbiome that you see within the stems of these of different varieties. We're in the course of analyzing data from a very large experiment where we just looked at the effective management practices on the apple microbiome. We looked at the impact of just washing. So these were hand harvested, brought into the lab, and so we looked at the effect of washing, and then after washing, waxing, and then storing at low temperature storage. The variety was Enterprise, the wax was Shield Bright, and we looked at a period over 6 months at storage between 1 and 2 degrees centigrade. Again, the two measurements of diversity, alpha diversity and beta diversity, I explained what the difference is. Basically, the take-home message is that in terms of beta diversity, we had a significant effect from both the time and storage, the type of tissue you were looking at, but also the treatments. And that was for bacteria. Here's just one of the PCOA charts. Again, you can see this clustering based on tissue type, where you have the stem, the calyx, and the peel. There is some overlap, but you can see a great deal of individual clustering. So that seemed to hold up from our initial study of just looking at store-bought apples. In terms of fungi, it was basically the same thing, that there was a significant impact of time, tissue, and treatment on the microflora. Again, if we look at tissue types, you can see more overlap between the stem and the peel, but this very distinct clustering of the microbiome from the calyx end of the fruit. And that seems to be holding up, and even at when we start looking at fruit from many different countries, as I'll point out. If we just look at the peel, we can see the impact again of the treatments, where we have the blue being the washed, starting off with the unwashed in red, going to the washed, and then to the washed in wax. And you can see a different shift in the microbiome. This doesn't take into account, this is looking at all the tissues and all the time points. So this is an overall effect of the treatment. Interesting aspect of side of that aspect, we also looked at the survival of Listeria over time and the impact of waxing. And in actuality, the waxing did help to promote the survival of Listeria. So here you have the application of Listeria. You can see initially this is the washed and unwashed. This is the washed and waxed fruit. Initially, there was a depression in the population of Listeria because of the wax being dissolved in organic solvent. But then over time, whereas there's steady decrease of Listeria in the washed and the unwashed fruit, in the wax fruit, there is a survival and a promotion of growth of the Listeria. So that's something to take into account and be concerned about. So another major question that we're interested in, is there a core apple microbiome? So regardless if you look at apples from Europe or from South America or from different parts of the United States, is there a core microbiome? So we looked at many different countries and several orchards in each case. Same variety right at harvest maturity. They were hand harvested. This is the PCOAA, and you can see that it's a huge mixture here, but you can see some distinct clustering from different regions. And if we just try to single out some comparison, I'll just give you one example there. So here's a comparison between New York and Washington State. You can see that there's and this is for fungi, there's very distinct clustering. So the microbiome of Washington State apples, of Royal Gala apples, is completely different than the ones from New York State. However, if you take all that data and you do a cluster dendrogram, so of all those seven or eight different countries, two orchards in different each country, you can see that we still get this a clear distinction of separation from the calyx fruit, and then also, though they're on the same branch, a separation of the peel and stem tissue. So that seems to hold up universally, regardless of where those apples are from. In terms of the clustering of regions, there's some interesting things. Here you can see clustering from Spain and Israel, and then also in this branch, Turkey as well. And of course, those represent very dry areas. You can see some clustering between New York and West Virginia, again, being mid-Atlantic types of production areas, and being separated from Washington State, which is out here. Some of the other separations, I don't have a good explanation for those, but they do exist. As I said, what we're interested in really is defining what the core microbiome. So even though there are differences, what's the same in them? And this shows a species abundance in all the different samples and all the different tissues. And you can see that there are some areas that are very unique, some things that are the same. But down along the bottom here, you see a core that seemed to be running across. And these, so these are taxa that seem to be present in nearly all of the samples, regardless of what tissue type they are, what region you harvested from. So those are the ones that we're currently analyzing and going to define as a core microbiome for the harvested apple. So in conclusion, There does seem to be different types of apparent effects on what defines the microbiome of the apple, whether you're looking at management practice or you're looking at a different portion of the fruit and even a region and cultivar. But the real unanswered question, which we hope to address, is what's the functional significance of the change in the microbial composition? And so we're trying to understand exactly what that function of that microbiome, what implications does it have? And just as an aside, that's not an unreasonable question when you consider the fact there are going to be tenfold the number of microbial cells on that fruit than there are actual fruit cells. And then if you look at the number of genes that are going to be expressed at any particular time, there's going to be even a greater number of fold difference in the terms of number of microbial genes that are being expressed than there are plant cells genes that are going to be expressed. And so it's not unreasonable suggest that they might have an interaction and affect each other, and we'd like to better understand what that interaction effect is. And with that, I'll take questions. Thank you.